Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the UMPR Podcast. I am Team Matrix. You can check out the show, blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball. You can also listen to the show, check out those source highlights, check out standings, stats, and league schedule. You can check all that out at Flag Football America. We're at the midseason report. We are in Sweet 16. Sorry for the hiatus that we took. Gordon, myself, that's not all back in the studio to bring you all the highlights here. One thing we do, a lot's happened over these last 2 weeks, so we're going to just hit the big highlights. We'll hit, obviously, hit standings, hit power rankings, but a lot's happened. We're definitely on sort of like a collision course because, it's, like I said, it's kind of like a situation where all these teams now, like they're like super teams, everyone's kind of combating. But before I talk any further, S-Dot, in our 16th season, there's been this is sort of an odd season because we have a lot of new players back. We have some players who have left. Give us a rundown which where you're at mentally with this Sweet 16 season.
Well, we're about halfway through, and we're trying. Teams are still just trying to get ready for playoffs. Looks like a couple teams are, some teams that are put themselves in a pretty good position, gotten through some tough games, and other teams. Weekly, it's going to be definitely a struggle to put up some points, but there's definitely still time to make an impact.
And everyone's trying to run down NWO, and really the big news, and obviously, you know, we were not on the air at the time to broadcast this out over the 2 weeks that this happened, but obviously NWO won this week, but they dropped two in a row. Dropped a game to a Bulls, and then they believe they dropped a game to the Sharks. And, you know, for all the talk we talked about, hey, they're trying to submit their legacy, get three in a row, they're definitely going to have their hands full trying to get a three-peat. And we'll recap that. I mean, in terms of them, you know, dropping two games, like I said, I don't think they've lost two games the entire season, let alone, you know, actually over probably the last three seasons, I think they may have lost two games. I don't think they've ever been undefeated, but, you know, the teams pretty much are stacking themselves to compete with them. And, you know, if you look at that team, I think they were missing a player or two, but they're pretty much already there. A lot of teams sort of base what they do off of NWO, but, you know, Estelle, what do you think of their two losses over the last 2 weeks? They lost in week four.
I don't think too much of it. I mean, I think it's one of these things where the regular season, you know, it's like a lot going on sometimes. And you know, I think people aren't that worried about a regular season. I think ultimately they want to get the win. I mean, you could look at it like, hey, you lose to a team in the regular season, and then you may get them back in the playoffs. And I think ultimately, like, if you can beat a team, it is kind of a weird scenario where, all right, you beat a team in the regular season, and then you lose to them in the playoffs. Well, you obviously have the capabilities to beat them. It just happens that you happen to lose when it comes to playoff time, which I know that's sort of like the realm of thinking sometimes, which, you know, like, for example, one time in high school, we beat a team in a regular season and then lost in the championship. And obviously, you know, you would have much rather have lost in the regular season than win a championship. And so my point is that I don't really think New World Order is that worried about it. And I think ultimately, like, when they go and play some of these other teams, like, they lost to the Sharks and they lost to, I believe it was the Bulls, right?
Yes.
And I don't think they're that worried. And I really don't. I think honestly, I think their issue is more chemistry because they've gotten some players back, which is great. And I think they're just working through the mechanics of getting their players back. And also, I think what's hurting them a little bit is they don't have that one player who played for them in the spring. And I know he doesn't seem like a big piece, but he really did give them that little extra element that teams couldn't really prepare for. So it will be interesting to see, like, how they, you know, who actually will come for playoffs. But I think one of the things that you definitely have to respect about New World Order is they don't really get too frazzled. They lose a game. They don't take it way too serious. And if you really think about it, like, they're really one of the teams that just, even when they were winning, losing, they always practiced, like, good sportsmanship. And they really have been, like, really good ambassadors for the league. So up until they lose,
yeah, I mean, Gordon mentioned that the game got a little chippy, particularly one against the Bulls. I mean, to me, you know, you have to get that game, you know, the intensity kind of bumps up. But that game was pretty decisive win. They lost to the Bulls 28-12. I'm not going to harp too much on this point. And then they lost a 1-point loss to the Sharks. So, they're going to play the season. They'll play the string. And, like I said, they're the team to beat for sure. Real quick, just to literally in 3 seconds recap those scores from week 3, 4, and 5. Yep, in that first week, first game of the day, Bulls beat the NWO 28-12. Stallions beat Marvel 38-6. We'll talk about them in a moment. Hot Boys beat Victoria's Secret 18-6. Sharks lost to the Mustangs 34-18. And then in the week 4, NWO lost their second week, 2 weeks in a row. They lost by a point to the Sharks. Hot Boys get a second win against Marvel, beat them 24-0. Mustangs lose to the Bulls. We'll hit that in a moment. 31-13. No Silky, Chuck. I think Chuck was banged up that game. And then Stallions win over Victoria's Secret 38-0. And that brings us to last week. NWO shuts out Marvel 25-0. Victoria's Secret loses a forfeit to the Bulls. Although they played the game, they all got their stats and there were scores reported. Hot Boys lose to the Sharks. And then last game of the game, Shark Mustangs blow up the Stallions 46-6. So what's your thought on the Bulls? I mean, the Bulls here, they're at sea. That team, you literally have a core of players who play together now maybe 6 years, 6 seasons, around 7, we're talking about 12, maybe 8 seasons, 8 to 10. And you had Keisha, had some other role players like Chris and Taz. And to me, like I said, I've always said that core group of Bulls has always been my sentimental favorite. But I know that's a team, a group of guys who have been trying to do this for a long time. But they seem like they're in the right direction. They're heading in the right direction. May have lost Estot there. We'll try to bring him back. One thing I was saying, Estot, was talk about the Bulls. Yeah, the Bulls were, the Bulls have been a group of players who had various lineup changes, but their core has already made the same. Like I said, I want to repeat Sunshine and Eric and Scott. So they're making a run now, doing well, playing well. Is this the year for the Bulls?
Well, I don't really know if it's necessarily the year for the Bulls. I think they finally kind of figured out, what they're going to need. Because I think one of the problems with the Bulls has always been, well, not really the Bulls, but, they've been on, Scott and Ryan and, a lot of these core guys who kind of travel a little bit in the league. I think they've always had just enough players to be dangerous. And then when some point came playoff time, it always felt like, and I can really only speak about, the quarterback position just because that's really kind of integral. But I think when it came to, the quarterback position, I think it always felt like Scott and the receivers he had or his teams that he's been on, they have to play these, perfect games to win. And I think that can be frustrating because a thing that I've always noticed about Scott as a quarterback is he's really, really loose in the regular season. And I don't know if that just means because the games don't mean anything, but then come playoff, I feel like maybe mentally there's a shift in his, approach, and he really doesn't need to do that. So I'm saying all this to say that I think this year, I don't think it's going to matter his mental approach. I think they've got so many talented players that other people can make a play. He won't have to make all the plays, and I think maybe that was part of the problem, I got to play perfect. And when you try to play perfect, you are never going to be perfect. In fact, it goes the opposite. I think if you're just loose and you can kind of, make fluid decisions just based on your experience, you go from there. But if you really think about it, Scott has so much experience, and he's really one of these few QBs now who really knows when to pass and when to run. He'll take a look, gets past the rusher, and he'll take off. And I think he can finally now play because they have so many players that they've recruited. And I guess I'm coming back to your point. Is this their year? This better be. I guess what I'm saying is I don't really see a scenario where they're going to have a much better team than what they've got now. What's that, Trez?
No. You're right, Estop, because, people forget that the core of this team was on that Stallion Flag Football Championship, Super Flag Bowl, in which they got beat by Fee in the last play, and they had Fee. They're ranked number – they got the number one defense right now, number two offense. And you're right. If it's not this year, when? So in terms of experience, they've got about as much experience in terms of this league as a core could ever have. If you think about it, they're really the only core team that stayed together. FNF shot up like a star and fizzed out. Bar your first bar group, maybe that season or two, But that core first gone, I can't think of a core of six to seven players who stayed together this long. Obviously, not the success of these other core groups, but in terms of a group that's just every year tried to chip away or solidify weaknesses, you're just seeing a huge progression, and they're undefeated. They're the only undefeated team, and they're front running right now.
Well, yeah, and they're definitely in a unique position because I think for all the years they've played, I don't know if they've ever really been, like, at the top. I mean, even when they were on those Niners teams or the other teams they've been on, they've always been, like, second, third, mostly second. And now they're first. They're at top. And so now, you know, and it's like one of these things. It's like one of these deals like this, man. Look, I'm not much of a baker. So if I go to you, Travis, and say, yo, I need this to make a cake. I need the eggs. I need the milk. I need this. I need that. I can read the directions. I can go get all the ingredients on the paper. But ultimately, dude, you got to make the cake. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go get you all these ingredients. But if you can't make a cake, you can't make a cake. So they have all the ingredients. So go make the cake. Go win the championship. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's nothing else to do but go and do it. I guess I'm saying it's not going to really be much of an excuse other than the teams in our league playing better and the other teams in the league going after it, because you're just not gonna win it because you've earned it. I mean, you're not gonna win it because you put in all this time. The Mustangs,
all 15 flag football champions that we've had, all the previous 15 championships, every one of them has earned it. None of them got any run.
When I mean earn it, it's not going to be like a lifetime achievement award winning a championship in this league. You got to go out, you got to play it, and you got to take it. No one's giving it to you. And that's the thing sometimes with football. I think as you mature in the game and you play more of it, you start to see, look, other teams have talented players too. Other teams are going to make plays too. So it's really how you handle that back and forth mentally, which is how you win the championship, because you have to go through it. You got to go through all the way. You can't – any lack of confidence is gonna hurt you. So I think they'll be fine. I think it's going to be down to four. I'm going to say it's 4 to 5 teams that legitimately could win it. And I know that sounds
like –
Yeah,
we're looking at that top upper echelon, because I obviously didn't want to – we want to hit every team here as we're ending week five. Yeah, if you look at the Mustangs, obviously the Mustangs, that's a whole show in and of itself, right? They've got Chuck, they've got Kira, they got three Hall of Famers on that team. They added Matt from the SBD. Defensively, they're a tough team. When you have Jerome back there, I think the week they lost, they didn't have Jerome or Carlos, and I think Chuck might have been, still it down. So they're okay they don't need to run the table. Not the reason, but probably contributed to their loss. But you look at that team, defensively, they can score on offense. I mean, I think the first week, they got Golden Child. I mean, they just picked up little pieces of players from teams, and it seems like Truck is really trying to mold them into understanding the rules, and he holds them to a standard. He doesn't let them drop balls and not hear something. On the other teams that Steve put together, the guys would be like, blah, 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 nah, I dropped the ball. No. He's raised the standard of what the expectations are. The Mustangs, right, are definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with as well. But the Bulls in the game, they beat them, just sort of beat them in every phase of the game. And then we'll hit the Sharks.
I think if you look at that Sharks New World Order game, I mean, it's clear that obviously, I don't know, I don't think weather was much of a factor. I just think that their offense hasn't been New World Order's offense has not been as sharp. But I don't think that's like any real concern. I mean, they're really one of the few teams in. See, with them, it's not. See, like, you could have a flag football team and have a whole bunch of guys out there and just try to like run like, oh, do this, do that, and have like little, not even plays, but thoughts and processes you try to do. But, like, they have legitimate plays. So when it comes to New World Order, it's not even a matter of, like, will they be ready? They will be ready. It's like because they have plays. They have plays that they consistently run. So, like a real NFL team, it's just execution with them. It's just execution has been off a little bit. That's all. Come playoff time, they're going to fix that.
Yeah, because people forget that. And NWO is not really. I mean, they definitely have big plays, but they're not a – punch you in the mouth team. They beat you with sustained drives. They're very situational. They know what to run in what situation. So, that can often be an issue when they're trailing. I think the game that they were trailing, they often sometimes won't put points on the board fast. They tend to become a little stagnant, but it's not often that they trail. So it's sort of a, you know,
well,
it's definitely a double-edged sword.
I mean, their defense, I mean, I don't know if you even I'm trying to even think, like, I mean, obviously all the great teams, you can't ever say that about, but, like, I don't think you've ever really blown out New World Order. Even when they weren't winning the championships, you're never going to really blow them out. So, really, their defense is what keeps them. I mean, you can say that about a lot of teams, but their defense is definitely, you know, what keeps them in the game. So, and I think that's going to be the real, I think that's going to be, like, the real key to this whole thing. It's like you have a lot of teams that are, like, plugging and playing in people. They don't come every week, which is understandable. It's a long, you know, it's not like a super long season, but, like, you know, you can't come every week sometimes. But you got all these players out here that you know haven't been coming every week. And what's going to happen come playoff time when you drop in 2 to 3 extra guys out there who haven't been coming every week?
Yeah,
it really can mess up. Yeah, really, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you hear this word a lot, but don't you think it can mess up your chemistry?
Yeah, I think with them, I mean, I think with NWO, I think they have so many pieces and everyone sort of knows their roles. I think that's less of a challenge. To be honest, you're right. As the
but not just NWO, I mean, all the teams doing this. Not just New World Order. I'm saying there's like the top four teams seem to have this rotating roster. I would say out of all the teams, the Bulls don't do that. The other teams seem to have these people that aren't coming every week, and now I'm curious what will happen when everyone tries to come during the playoffs.
Right, and that try to turn it on, per se, like they say. Yeah, you're right. That could be what really why the Bulls are undefeated, because you're right. You know that core six is going to come. I know Nate was there the week they beat the Mustangs, so it could be something where Nate's just sort of, hey, just sits in the bullpen until it's time for him to go out and pitch, you know, get a couple sacks. And so you're right. You're absolutely right. So that could be more of a function, hey, it's a spring season, and right, teams could kind of just be strategizing and make sure that they're kind of just maintaining, but it also could be just availability as well, because we've had some weird issues with weather and stuff. So not so much hit with all the teams. Of the top teams, I guess in terms of teams, just one loss, the Sharks. Sharks have a really great rookie in Trey. Dave Substantial, one of the earliest Rookie of the Year's winners. I think he's the first Rookie of the Year winner. Yeah, he's now in his, seventh, eighth season, maybe even ninth season in the playing in the league. So he's an established veteran. You know, he always gets a lot of criticism for turning the ball over. I think he's become better at just forgetting about those plays and moving on, because he's going to do it. That's just part of his game. But he's been picking up his running game, where he's experienced enough, and he's really a clinic in terms of not getting your flag pulled. He keeps running. He doesn't stop. He runs to a void, and he lets the other player make the mistake. He puts the pressure on the flag grabber. So he reels off about a couple 30, 40-yard runs, and he'll do it if you let him. So he's really turned into a real well-rounded quarterback, and he has help.
Well, I think that it's one – I mean, look, it's a classic case of if you're just – and here's what I'm going to say. Like, I mean, no one in this league gets paid to play football, so – and I'm just saying that, like, if you're just an average quarterback, right, like, amazing, like, really good receivers make you look good, you know what I mean? And so, but ultimately, you do have to be a really, you don't have to be a great quarterback to win games. You don't. Like, you actually don't. Like, I think the biggest thing with football sometimes is, like, oh, yeah, when we promoted a lot, you need these great, you know, you do need a really good, stable quarterback. But really, you just need good receivers, because all you have to do is get the ball in their hand. And so I think, like, Dave has, like, figured that out. Like, you don't want the ball in your hand. You want to get it to these guys in your league. And I think the one thing the Sharks have going for them is, like, they have, like, two new players that no one knows about. Like, that's ultimately how you can strike pretty good in this league, is when you have players on your team that you don't know and you don't know what they do. That's their biggest advantage right now. And that's how they kind of have been able to fly under the radar. On top of that, they've got, like, veteran players, like Ace. Ace has won a championship. You got Sheen. You got, you know what I mean? You got a lot. You got Benzo. They picked up Lavelle this week. So they have a good mix, and their roster is probably one of the smallest, too, which I think is probably a good thing, because they don't have, like, all these people that are trying to get in there. So they got a possession receiver. They got female. I think that's the only challenge for them, is, like, having that one female player. It's just putting a lot – have you noticed that, Travis? Like, the teams with one female just puts a lot of pressure on the teams.
Possibly does. You know, it's not going out my government. But, no, it's all – yeah, you're right. It just puts pressure on the team. If you can have two – allows you flexibility. And that kind of brings up a point, you know, that kind of it's happened over. It's becoming less of an issue, but that's why the rule change that the league office put in was amazing. That on that third and gender, when it's a male quarterback, the men have to be behind the rush line. At the goal line, if they're inside the seven, because, right, there was bumping, and you have one female and it's third and gender, it's right. It's just not – whatever sport do you know, other sport other than this one, that you know on a certain play that one person is targeted. So it's taking – don't put pressure on your female. The best teams do it, and, you know, and then now you're getting to a phase where, right, the women now become more athletic and there's a lot more contact, there's a lot more physicality. So you're absolutely right. You don't want to put – if you have two females, you give your team a little less pressure and you get more versatility and you can compete for a championship.
No, and think about, like, again, captains. This is a co-ed league, so the rules are set up that if you put as much attention into working out your female situation, you can guarantee yourself more success. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting... It's like, you know how people say, oh, the rules are set up. No, the rules are set up for you to be successful if you can get as many female players as possible. And if you really think about it, I guess the league has, like, I guess it's a miracle we've probably survived this long, because really it's hard to find, like, really hardcore competitive co-ed leagues. But it's what we are. It's what we've evolved to. And I think that's a good thing. But, again, captains, quarterbacks, teams, when you guys are coming up with your game plan, the rules are set up for you to utilize your female players as much as possible. If you're able to do that, you probably will find more success if you just try to bypass that rule.
You're right. And like I said, each year that rule gets a little tweaked. I think it's at the point now, and I think there's maybe one minor tweak you can make sure that. I think the one thing maybe some spacing things, but ultimately the league has been amazing in not trying to get themselves involved in the strategy of a game. So, but we talked about that in the last show, so in terms of the rule change. And then, right, that's just something that's progressed. Let's, before we hit the standings, because I just want to talk about the teams, really, the record at this point obviously is important, but, you know, it's a work in progress. We got about 5 minutes left here in the show. Let's really quickly get Stallions, Hot Boys, Marvel, and Victoria's Secret to play. Stallions 2 wins, Hot Boys 2 wins. To me, the Hot Boys are a team, although, right, they're a younger team, and they're sometimes just excitable, and sometimes they've matured in a way. I've seen them in the sense that they always show up. Win or loss, they show up. They've been coming for the last 4 seasons, and they haven't had a whole lot of success, but they show up as a team. They have their uniforms ready. You know, they have, you know, possibly a franchise quarterback. And Reese, I see him almost like a, not the old type of player. It's Steve Young / Cordell Stewart. He just needs experience. So for me, I see a lot of growth out of the Hot Boys. Stallions, as always, will be competitive with C there. He's just an aged veteran. I see him like the old man Logan Wolverine. Marvel, right, you know, basically your hybrid of Stallions. A couple of teams need some work. And the Victoria's Secret, right, like L's team. This needs to be a little more consistent and get an established roster. But what your analysis of those bottom 4 teams that start, and then we'll just hit standing.
First of all, I just got to give a shout out to, like, Team Marvel. Like I'm frustrated with them only in the sense, like, the beginning of the year. Eric, Tyler, first play. Remember his long? Were you there for that long run at the beginning of the season?
Gordon was there. I was there as well. Yep, I saw it on the monitor.
Eric has this awesome run. Like, probably one of the longest runs I've seen in a really long time. Boom, right? I know he scores, and so there was excitement there. Now, I don't see that excitement. So, definitely shout out to Eric for the run. I think they just have to get better at just moving the chains. Like, when you can't score touchdowns, then all you should be focused on is 3 plays, 3 yards. Well, 3 plays, what, Trav? 6 yards, 7 yards? Maybe no, 4, right? What's 4 times 3?
Four plays, 20 yards.
3 plays, 4, every play, just try to get 5 yards. Like, when you can't get the 5 yards, then you're going to get overwhelmed with trying to score. Don't try to score. You know what I mean? Like, I think you want to take these big shots, and they're not even going deep downfield. I think they're just trying to eat up a lot of yardage. But, man, if you're having trouble scoring, then you just get yards. Get yards, and change the field position. And and then go from there. You know, I think their quarterback probably has to move the pocket more. I think sit back in the center, move it. But again, I think Team Marvel will be fine. I definitely think they've got a lot of talent that they're not really utilizing. I think they'll work it out. I think Victoria's Secret is just a matter, again, just consistently coming. And I think they're still figuring out their quarterback. I don't know if their quarterback that they had week one, maybe he wasn't able to commit, which is a shame because they're really a much different team without him.
No, I think the quarterback they have is sort of, yeah, and you're right. I mean, and one thing I've said, Gordon and I had the conversation offline, was that, you know, you have a couple quarterbacks dispersed amongst these teams. You know, you got Carlos and you got Jerome and you got Hammer and you got people who could play quarterback on that team and make them get them to 3 or 4 wins. But you're right, obviously it's an arms race. So you got, I think it's almost like the NBA model. If you're a veteran, you don't want to be the man on the team and not win games. You know, veterans are kind of cluing into, you know, and obviously there's a league where, you know, everyone gets paid and everyone's jobs and family. So I think veterans are more content to be part of the piece, particularly Hammer. Like Hammer could quarterback any team in his league. People just don't know. Like,
yeah.
If anyone's come in this league in the last 6 seasons, don't know that this guy's a quarterback. And he's your archetype where he doesn't even care. He doesn't care. He doesn't throw the ball, but he can throw a football and he can be a quarterback. People forget he had a franchise for 4 seasons this week.
But he doesn't want to, so he wants to play receiver. So I think that's fine. I think he could maybe he doesn't even want to play backup, which is fine. It's smart. I mean, you don't want that pressure all the time on. You just want to come out and play football. But I think, well, who are we talking about? Hot Boys. So they're Hot Boys. So
I
think they're
in
the same boat. They're not bringing all their players every week. What was that?
2 minutes left in the show.
Okay. Yeah, so you're just talking about the other teams, right?
Yeah, so Victoria's Secret and Hot Boys and Stallions.
Well, yeah, we talked about Victoria's Secret. Hot Boys, I think their quarterback got all the tools, man, so I would, you know, I definitely would be concerned for them because when they are clicking, they're clicking. So I think they've taken a step back just because their female play a little bit. They seem to be struggling with that this season. But, I mean, they're growing as a team, and it's good to have them in the league. And I think that hopefully they can keep growing and building on it. And the Stallions would be fine. Stallions, I mean, I think Clarence, it was good that he took a good look at, like, playing who'd they play this week? They played the Mustangs. But I think they'll be fine. I think definitely have a much better strategy. It's just one of those things where once you get kind of like, you throw a couple picks, it's like, yeah, picks can change the game quick. So I don't really envision that happening again, you know. But I think the thing is, though, the Mustangs, they're not playing, you know what I mean? If they get a hold of your ball, dude, you know what I mean? They're going to try to score. So just that's the thing, too. Like, some teams will get a pick and be happy, but no, the Mustangs are going to make you pay bad for that. So I do not envision that happening again if they met in the playoffs.
Absolutely. All right, let's hit the standings real quick. We got 90 seconds left in the show. This is the standings as we stand now. Let's go from the top to the bottom. Bulls are undefeated 5-0. Mustangs, Sharks, 4-1, NWO above 500 at 3-2. Rest of the teams below 500. Stallions, Hot Boys, 2 wins, 3 losses. And then at the moment, Marvel and Victoria's Secret looking for their first win. Schedule coming up. No games on Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to everyone, all moms out there. The league will resume on the 15th with Hot Boys versus Stallions, Victoria's Secret versus Marvel, Mustangs, New World Order, that's a good one, and Sharks, Bulls. So for myself, S-Dots, any final thoughts?
No, I would just tell teams try to rest up. You know, we're going to try to finish up the regular season and then just let everyone know, expect, you know, check in the Facebook for some things that we're going to be doing, coming out with. And that's pretty much it.
All right. So myself, got 10 seconds left, wrapped everything up. Gordon getting his game tight. Got the midseason report done. So for myself, S-Dot for the commission for the Flag Football Advisory Board. Happy Mother's Day. No games this week. We'll see everyone back May 15th. Check out Scores Highlights, FlagFootballAmerica.com. And also check out the show on blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball. Have a good one.